107. Psalms 107. I was kind of picking on Preacher Jacob while he was hearing about preaching with that iPad. I said, I reckon I'm just going to be old-fashioned till I die. And I'm going to have my notes. My luck, I'd get up here with an iPad and the battery would die. And I'd be throwed at, my wife would claim I'd be throwed it somewhere. Amen. Amen. It's all right to smile. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I want to kind of revisit a message a little bit different than I've preached it before. I've preached it here before. Look at Psalms 107. Look at verse 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for each one that's come this way. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the songs, God. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, God, as we try to expound just a little bit on this. God, you move in this service. God, you move and help me, God, get me out of the way. Lord, it's not about me, God. And I pray, Lord, we just lift up Jesus tonight. God, if we'll do that, everything else will fall into place. And we'll make sure you get all the praise, you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Preach this a few years ago about I Want to Say So. That's the title of the message, I Want to Say So. And when I preached it the last time, the points that I used was I want to say so with my lips, amen. We ought to want to praise God. Every last one of us, if I went to everybody in this building, you got a reason to praise God tonight, amen. Every last one of us has got a reason to praise God. I said, I want to say so with my life. We ought to live life out loud. We ought to be a Christian. You ought not have to put on a Christian t-shirt for somebody to know that you're saved, amen. They ought to know you saved just by, when you walk in, there ought to be something different about you, amen. When you come into the presence of people on your job, there ought to be something different about you. They ought to know that you're saved. I want to say so with my loyalty. I am a Christian, amen. That means I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not following Buddha. I'm not following nobody else. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. Jesus is the one I'm following, amen. I'm going to say so with my loyalty. I'm going to say so by lifting up my hands. I ain't ashamed, amen. I'm going to praise him. I made up my mind a long time ago. If they don't nobody else praise him, I'm going to praise him. If you don't want somebody to say amen, you don't want somebody to lift their hands, you don't want somebody to get excited, then don't sit on the pew with me.
Right.
I'm just being honest, amen. And I want to make sure that I show and I say so with my love. Amen. I want to say so with my love. Bible says we're supposed to love each other. But I'm going to preach a little different tonight. I'm actually going back to the message. You know, I love preaching messages like that, Brother Robert, but if a lot of times, you know, if you'll go back to the message, you'll go back to the Bible, to the passage of Scripture, and that's kind of what got me thinking on this, Brother Terry. Go back to the Scripture, and there's a whole other message in the Scripture. So I want to preach just a little while tonight on I Want to Say So. Too many times we're silent as Christians, and too many times we're robbed of the glory. David says that the redeemed need to dictate what God has done for us. Brother Clint had a testimony just a little bit before service how God had answered prayers. There ought not be a time we come into God's house that somebody ain't praising him for answering prayer. I guarantee you from tonight till Wednesday night, when we come back into God's house Wednesday night, God's going to answer somebody's prayer, amen. And when you come into God's house Wednesday night, you ought to say, hey, preacher, I just got to testify a minute. I just want to tell how good God's been to me, amen. David goes and tells us that, you know, God saved us and God delivered us and God has blessed us, and we sit there like a bump on a pickle.
Amen.
We never say amen. We never say nothing. Preacher, that just ain't my personality. Well, it's mighty amazing how I go to these ball games and see some of y'all act.
Glory.
At some of these ball games, amen. And we come into God's house and just sit there. Number one, I want to say so because I am redeemed. Amen. I am redemption means that I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Just like I preached this morning, everything was settled at the cross. You got to understand something. The Bible tells us we're bought with a price, and we're bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are not your own. You have been redeemed. Amen. And you got to understand, when you've been saved and you've been lifted up, I know that scripture said he reached down into the miry pit and pulled us up and set our feet on a solid rock. You got to understand, everybody wasn't good moral people. All of us wasn't raised in church. Amen. Some of us was raised in other places, and I'm not gonna get too much into that. Some of us didn't know what church was until somebody invited you to Liberty. Some of us didn't know what church was. I mean, we wasn't raised in church, and we was raised in the bar rooms, and we was raised in other places, and we were not raised to come to God's house on Sunday. We was raised to try to get over a hangover. But glory to God, I've been redeemed. Amen. I've been lifted up. I've been bought with a price, and I come tonight. I want to say so because I've been redeemed. We were in bondage. And the perfect scripture for me to emphasize this tonight is Hosea chapter 3. Now listen to how Hosea chapter 3 is. If you go back to Hosea chapter 1, God tells Hosea, he is a prophet of God. He said, I want you to marry this woman. That's a prostitute. And I want you to marry her because that's exactly what Israel's doing to me. So Hosea marries this woman. The Bible goes in chapter 1 and chapter 2, talks about the children. And then you get to chapter 3. What happens in chapter 3 is she gets a wild hair and she wants to run off. How many of us Christians ever done that? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good, amen. But don't make me come back there and get on your pew. Listen to how this reads. Hosea chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet. Love a woman beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who looked to another gods and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Salvation alone is enough for you and I to praise God and to say so. But you got to understand something. The Bible talks about how that Hosea loved Gomer, and she went out and destroyed herself. And he loved her enough, and he went back to the slave market and bought her back. Aren't you glad that God didn't turn his back on you when you turned your back on him? Aren't you glad that when you wasted your life and you wasted your substance, just like the prodigal son, that God the Father still loved you and sent his only begotten son to die on a cross? I'm telling you, redemption is enough for each and every one of us to say so and praise and honor God. I want to say so because he delivered me from my enemies. The Bible says in verse 2 right there, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many of y'all realize you was in Satan's hand? Amen. How many of y'all realize you was a pawn of Satan? Amen. How many of y'all realize that the devil don't love you? And as I was thinking about studying this, King David had many enemies. I wonder if anybody ever come into King David's presence and says, hey, what about that Goliath fella? You reckon David just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, well, that's just... How about when David defeated all the rest of the Philistines? If you go back and you think about how David did all, Satan is our enemy, folks. And you got to understand something. God hath redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Satan, I'm going to figure out who I'm going to pick on. I'm going to pick on Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph's daddy was a preacher. Brother Ralph, how long, Brother Ralph? How many years? 40 years. Brother Ralph pretty much raised in church. But you know what? Even though he might have been raised in church, even though his daddy might have been a preacher and his mama a good godly woman, Satan still had him. And he had to be redeemed from Satan, just like the drug addict, just like the alcoholic, just like the whoremonger, amen. Thank God that I can say that God hath redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. You got to understand something, folks. I was raised in a good home. I was raised by a good mama and daddy. I was raised in church. But when I got 18 years old, I fell out. I went out and started doing things I had no business doing. And thank God that God redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. I got under some old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled preaching, amen, and I got saved. I want to say so because he brought me out of darkness. Amen. Somebody ought to shout right there. You ain't always been in church. You ain't always been worshiping Jesus. Amen. I've known people over the years. We've had people come to church over the years that got saved in this church and brought up in this church. And I've heard some horror stories about how some of them practice witchcraft and some of them practice Satanism. But glory to God. Hey, I'm glad he redeemed me out of darkness. The Bible tells us in Psalms 107, verse 10 through verse 14, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and he condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Amen. He brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. Aren't you glad that God brought you out of darkness? Aren't you glad that when you was in the darkness, the light came in, and the light's name was Jesus Christ? Hey, you were down, you couldn't even see daylight, and he brought you out anyhow.
Amen. That's good.
Don't brag on the darkness. We've had people come to church here and get up and talk about how they used to be and how bad of a drunk they used to be and how bad they used to be. Quit bragging on the darkness and start bragging on the light.
Amen.
You don't need to know where God brought me from. You just need to know he brought me.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all we need to know. I don't need to know all your faults and failures. Just tell me how good Jesus is. Amen. I want to say so because I've been brought out of the darkness. I want to say so because he's calmed my storms. Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 28 through 30, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Ever been in trouble? Ever had a need that only God could answer? I'm talking about you. Talk to everybody else. You talked to the boss man. You tried to get the overtime and you wasn't going to make it, but God had to show up. And had God not showed up, you'd have been in a storm. Aren't you glad that God brought you through that? The Bible says that he took them to their desired haven. That means he took them, Chucky, where they needed to be, where they wanted to be. Aren't you glad that God shows up? Amen. Clint testified. He don't have cancer. You know what that means? God brought him through that storm, took him to his desired haven. I remember Mike going through a storm a few years ago, and a physical storm and a mental storm, and he cried out to God, and God showed up in the middle of that storm, and God brought him through that storm, and God brought him to his desired haven. And Mike's got it better now than he's ever had it. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I want to say so because that's how good my God's been to me. Amen.
Amen.
How many times has he showed up in your life? How many times has he showed up in your storm? The Bible tells us in Psalms 107, these sailors, the storm, they knew this storm was bigger than they could handle. And have you ever needed a peace, be still moment? You ever been going through something and you just needed a peace, be still moment? You didn't need nothing else. You just needed for your mind to calm down. You just needed for God to show up in the midst of trouble and just say, peace, be still. Lord, I ain't worried about what I don't got. I just need some peace. I'm not worried about everything else going on in my life. Lord, I just need you to calm this storm.
Amen.
And all of a sudden,
glory,
he shows up. Why don't you say so? I want to say so when he does that in my life. Amen. I want to say so because he has supplied all my needs. Psalms 107, verse 35. Look at this. And he turneth the wilderness into standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. God can turn deserts into rivers. God can turn barren places into fruitful places. I read a little story one time about it was a drought in Africa. It said in South Africa, a naturalist club owner, Bo Brummel, was irked by the accusations from moral watchdogs that a shriveling drought was brought on by the sin of, by the sin of nude people. Togetherness at his 1,000-acre ranch. In other words, the Christians was having a fit because he was allowing this to go on his 1,000-acre ranch. And there was a big drought. So he asked 370 visitors. He asked them to get dressed. And for the first time in months, it started to rain. When we line up with God and we do what we're supposed to, he'll do what he's supposed to. Amen. And I'm just going to go ahead. I want to say so because he has supplied all my needs. Preacher, I don't have a whole lot of extra, Brother Robert. I know you don't have a whole lot of extra. I know Brother Tony don't have a whole lot. But glory to God, we got all we need. Amen. I have not missed a meal. I have not missed a payment. Hey, I'm just going, and I'm not bragging on anything. I'm just telling you how good God is. My credit can't hardly get no better. If I need money, I can go down to the bank. I'm not going down there to get no money. But if I need it, I can get it. Amen. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't have no brand new cars. I don't have no brand new house. But I got all I need, glory to God. And I'm telling you right now, I'd rather have God on my side and have God supplying my needs than have to revolt all the money that Donald Trump's got. Amen. I want to say so. Because I'm telling you right now, he's a providing God. Amen. He's a providing God. If he can bring manna into wilderness, he can take care of your need. Amen. He can take care of everything you got. I want to say so because someone needs. Testimonies encourage others to trust God. Now listen to this. This is a little commentary off of Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whatever others may think or say, the redeemed have an overwhelming reason to declare the goodness of the Lord. This is a peculiar redemption. Theirs is a peculiar redemption. And for it, they ought to render a peculiar praise. You get that? The Redeemer is so glorious, the ransom price so immersed, that the redemption so complete that they are sevenfold obligation to give thanks unto the Lord and to exhort others to do so. Let them not only feel so, but let them say so. Let them both sing and bid their fellows in song. Silent Christian stops the glory of God. Silent Christians rob hope from others. Silent Christians take the glory out of God. Silent Christians don't give nobody no hope. When God's done something for you and you just sat there on your hands and you don't say nothing about it, Charlie can't get encouraged. Robert can't get encouraged. Mike can't get encouraged. But when you stand up and you start telling how good God's been, when somebody on this side of the church is having a hard time and they can't hardly make their bills, and you stand up on this side of the church and tell how good God's been to you and tell how God's supplied every need, I'm telling you, that gives them encouragement to just keep on going. Whew. If God didn't do nothing else but save you, that's enough to shout over right there. But Leanne, how good God been to you? Brother Terry, how good's God been to you? Amen. Cody, how good's God been to you? Blake, how good's God been to you? How about Kevin? How good's God been to you? And we live in the quietest church age we've ever lived in. Amen. I'm just going to be honest. We got folks in this building that was raised up at South Avenue. We got folks in this building that was raised up at High Point. We got folks in this building that was raised up in other churches. We got folks in this building that was went to, me and my wife was raised up at White Savannah down in Conway. And I'm telling you right now, when I tell you they were shouted out, and we come into God's house and the redeemed of the Lord can't even get a grunt. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to say so. I want to say, man, I hope when we come back Wednesday night, y'all so full of it, we come in here and we shout it out. I hope I can't even get to preach Wednesday night. Amen. I know it can't happen like that all the time. And I know it, we don't need it to happen like that all the time. Talbert, we got to have preaching. We got to have the Word of God. But I think we're selling God short a lot of times when we don't come in and praise Him and tell how good God's been. You might be the key to somebody's salvation when you stand up and tell how good God's been to you. You might be the key to somebody just saying, I can't give up right now. Just telling how good God's been to you. I've told this story a few times here, and I don't remember where I heard it. I remember hearing a story, Brother Terry, of an old man that had just been going through a hard time. He just, just been fighting the battle. You don't know what I'm talking about. Fighting the battle. Seemed like everything was coming against him, Brother Tony. Everything falling apart. And he come into God's house right by himself. Walked down to the altar, and he set his Bible down. He said, Lord, I'm done. I'll give all I can give. Lord, I can't take it anymore. And I'm just going to quit. And he turned around to walk out. He said, but Lord, let me just stop right there. He said, Lord, you remember that time when my little girl was sick? And she was running a fever of 104. And we got down and prayed. And Lord, you come on and you touched her. Lord, I just want to say thank you, God, that you were there for me then. He said, well, Lord, I'm tired. And I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm done, God. I'm done. Turned around to walk out. He said, well, Lord, hold on a minute. So you remember that time when my wife got cancer? And we got her anointed and had to go through the surgery, but she came through the surgery good, and you touched her, and everything was all right. He said, Lord, I just want to say I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you being there for me, God. Amen. He said, but Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I just want to quit. He turned around to walk out again. He said, but Lord, you remember when I had that incident on my job, but I didn't know how I was going to make it. And me and the preacher prayed around this same altar, and you showed up, and he said, Lord, I tell you what. He said, picked up, and he said, Lord, you've been too good to me. He said, I just can't quit right now. I just can't quit right now, God, because you've been too good to me. Let me tell you something, folks. God's been too good to us. God showed up so many times when you didn't deserve him showing up. And I'm telling you right now, we ought to come into God's house and say, I want to say so tonight. I just want to praise him. I want to honor him. I just want to give him glory because he has been good to me. He did show up for me. He did answer my prayer. He did take care of my children. He did take care of my wife. He did, send money when I didn't have no money. He sent food when I didn't have no food. He sent friends when I didn't have no friends. Amen. I want to say so tonight. I want to say so. Okay, come up. Band, come on. Robert, lead us in. Just want to thank you, Lord.